Thank you so much, Riley. That last note was astounding. I don't know how he got that deep on that. Take your Bible with me if you do. Turn the house lights up if you could please for me. Take your Bible with me if you will. We're not going to stay long, but we're going to look at something. I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 in your Bible with me. I know there's lots of buttons there, fellas. Just mash the right one. Psalm 2. There we go. There we go. Psalm 2. In our run-up toward Christmas this year, we talked a lot in Sunday night services about a special title that was given the Lord Jesus Christ before his birth and then after his birth. We talked about that title being mentioned prominently in the genealogical record of Jesus, which is found both in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, and that very special title, an Old Testament title as prediction, a New Testament title as fulfillment, that very special title are these words: Jesus, the Son of David. The Son of David. While Jesus is called many things in the Bible, and the prophet tells us, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. While Jesus is called many things in both the Old and the New Testaments, one of the most significant titles of our Lord is the word Son of David. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the baby that was born in a manger, the baby who is called the Prince of Peace, the baby of whom it is said by the prophet, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. That baby is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the baby born in the manger. He is the one who came in his first advent to be born, to walk among men, to identify with us in our weaknesses, yet without sins. He is the one who came to rub shoulders with his humanity. He is the one who left the throne of heaven's glory to come and be incarnate, born as a baby in Bethlehem's manger, and then live among faulty and sinful men. And ultimately, he is the one who came as a divine sacrifice. In the little message I gave to our children, I love doing that, by the way. I just enjoy that, thoroughly enjoy that. I put a lot of work into what I'm going to say. Someone asked me, one of our deacons actually asked me this morning, said, you put more work in the candy cane thing than you do into your sermons, right? And I don't know if that's, it's true, okay, but let's move on from that. And so, in that we talked about with the young people, the Bible tells us, the prophet tells us, with his stripes we are healed. The Bible says it is by his shed blood that our sins can be forgiven. And so we understand that the prophets predicted that Jesus Christ would come and he would die. Isaiah, the prophet, said specifically that he was wounded, speaking of Jesus, before Jesus was ever born, 750 years before he was ever born. The prophet Isaiah said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. By the way, your spiritual healing today, your forgiveness of sins, does not come because you're religious. It does not come because you're a Baptist or any other denomination. It does not come because you're a churchgoer. It does not come because you claim some kind of religious goodness. Our salvation and forgiveness of sins is based solely and completely on the fact that Jesus Christ died for me in my place. Jesus Christ died for you in your place. When he died, he took the sins of the whole world upon him. When he died, he suffered the penalty, the punishment, the wrath of God for sin, and he took my place, and he took your place. Pastor Monty, does that mean that everyone will be saved? The answer to that is no. Jesus in John chapter 14 put it this way. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In John 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said this, I am the way. By the way, not a church, not a denomination, not a philosophy, not pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and doing better and cleaning up your act, none of that. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Pastor Monty, how does one come to Christ? One comes to Christ when he believes. When you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that there's nothing you can do to save yourself, when you believe that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again, when you believe and trust on him and him alone, in that very moment you are saved. in that very moment you become a Christian. Pastor, what about baptism? Baptism takes place after you become a Christian. But you don't have to be baptized to be a Christian. Baptism does not wash away your sins. Simply identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's telling the world in an outward way what I believe on the inward way, that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He came the first time to be a sacrifice, to die for our sins. But He will come the second time. And ladies and gentlemen, He is coming again. He is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. And He will come the second time as the world's judge and as its King. Psalm 2 is a prediction of that. It is a prophecy. Let me read it quickly for you. The Bible says in Psalm 2, verse number 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, an empty thing?" It, in this psalm, appears that the whole world is allied against God. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord." The anti-Christian movement in our nation that comes from some of the highest echelons of power. How can a person who parades around purporting and pretending to hold the highest office in the land, that of president, give a Christmas address and never mention the name of Jesus? How is that possible? It's because the heathen rage. It's because the people imagine a vain thing. It's because the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. If you notice in your Bible, the word anointed is capitalized. That is a specific reference to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Every Jew would recognize this is a messianic prophecy. It is the Lord, the God of heaven. It is His anointed, God the Son, Jesus. And here's what these kings of the earth, these rulers, say in verse number 3. "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In other words, let's throw off the yoke of biblical morality. Let's throw off the yoke, the burden, the restriction of biblical biology. Pastor Monty, you said biology is a biblical thing? Yeah, it's very biblical. There's scripture involved in that. The Bible says God created them male and female. What does scripture tell us? "He that sitteth," notice these words in verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." This is God now. Pastor, how does this relate to His second coming? You see, the world thinks it's won the battle. The world hasn't won the battle. The world thinks it's on top of everything and in control of everything and dictating everything. The world thinks it can manipulate everything. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision," total confusion, "when He comes again. Then," verse 5, "shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure." Verse number 6, speaking of Jesus, "Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." Where is Zion? Zion is the site of the Temple Mount. He says, "I've set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The Prince of Peace will ultimately bring peace in this world. Evil will not triumph in this world. Denial of Christ, denial of the Bible, denial of the Christian faith, none of those things will triumph in this world. The Lord will have them in derision and He will set His King. Who is the King? We're talking about King Jesus, descendant of David. We're talking about the one who is labeled in Scripture as the Son of David. "Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Notice that, by the way, the Lord has a Son. Who is His Son? It is Jesus Christ. "This day have I begotten thee." That verse quoted in the New Testament, both in reference to His birth and in reference to His resurrection. "Thou art my beloved Son. This day have I begotten thee." And then He says in verse number 8, "Ask of me. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Who is doing this, by the way? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, at Christmas time we think about the baby born in a manger. In his ministry we think about gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But when he comes again, Revelation chapter 5, he will come again as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When he comes again, he will rule with a rod of iron. When he comes again, he will set right every wrong. When he comes again, he will punish evildoers. When he comes again, he will establish his kingdom. It will differ from anything that the world has ever known. And Jesus Christ will be absolute, beneficent dictator over the entire world. And the Bible says in that day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, he is coming again. He that was born the Lamb of God is returning as the Lion of Judah. He that was born the little baby, vulnerable, innocent, held in the hands of Mary and Joseph, will return on a white war horse to bring judgment to this world. That's why the Bible says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. They, Lord, when he returns, shall break them with a rod of iron. Verse number 10, what is the proper response? Here it is. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Verse number 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. If you've never put your trust in him, we invite you this very day to come to know Christ as Savior. Not to become a Baptist, nothing like that. Just to know Christ, to know him, to trust him, to believe in him. Come to him. Jesus said these words, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, as we close this service, that if there would be anyone here that does not know Christ as Savior, that they would come up following the service, speak to me or one of our pastors, and Lord, we'd be delighted to point them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Thank you for loving us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The house lights.